Oh!
Tom Floyd here. Reminding you to watch this Saturday night on Monster Chiller Horror Theater when we present another in our fine line of horror classics. We got a scary one for you this week, believe me. This was a great film. It was made in 1956, I believe. And it's a 3D special. That's right. It's called
The Right to Rock.
All right, you got all your gear?
Got my shit, just got it out of the van. Fucking John disappeared as usual.
Oh.
Probably taking a shit somewhere.
Would you expect anything less?
Exactly. I don't think so.
What is that weird frog following us around for?
I know, dude. Every time
huge
I look,
ass bullfrog.
It's right fucking there.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying.
Grabbing the stogies Freak out of me the out bag. Over there.
Oh, you know what?
What?
I got to go back to the car.
Oh, shit, would you forget something?
I forgot to light it.
You motherfucker. Are you going to leave me alone out here in front of this fucking crazy house?
Well, yes.
It's like, as a matter of fact.
I'm just going to John.
See you around. I thought I saw this motherfucker. Straining. Hope you get hemorrhoids, you fuck.
You know he's got hemorrhoids.
He was walking
kind of like bow like this. Like, you fucked up this last night. This he goes, no. I said, well, what's going on? He goes, my hemis are acting up.
Hemis. My roids. It's roid rage, but a different kind.
Exactly.
This fucking guy.
You're freaked out by the frog, aren't you?
A little bit.
The little bastard's been following us.
He must have come up from the river, I guess, since we're all near the river.
Hey, I'm going to run to the car. I'll be right back.
Yeah, hurry up. Just be fucking quick about it.
You're scared over there.
Like a motherfucker. This fucking guy. I can't believe he leaves me alone. What the fuck is that? Holy shit. fucking hate this place, man. Oh, shit, I hope we fucking finish this shit tonight real quick. I hope we survive this shit. Fucking AOV. The fuck is that? Dude, all I'm seeing is fucking... Hey, how you doing? Some guy on his fucking porch. Fuck. Jesus, hey, there he is. Fucking come back here already. Shit's getting crazy. Dude, can't believe you. Some guy came out on the fucking porch and looking at me.
Oh, really?
I thought it was a demon.
Could have been.
Could have fucking been.
Did you tell everybody where we're at?
No, actually, I didn't yet. Maybe we should. We're at the currently...
Yeah, we flew in this morning.
Right, we flew into Long Island.
What day is it?
Long Island. And it's fucking Halloween.
Yep.
As usual, and as usual, we're going on a fucking a physical location tour here. We're in Long Island, south of Long Island, and right off the Amityville River. And this used to be... I mean, right now it's listed as 108 Ocean Avenue. That's it. Look at the sign there. It used to be 112 Ocean Avenue, Amityville, New York. So yeah. If you don't know where that is, that's you know the house if you see it. This shit was fucking, shit went crazy back here. Back in the 70s, the shit went down with the Lutz family. As you may have heard, Ronald DeFeo Jr., killed everybody in the fucking... No, the Lutz family lived here after DeFeo killed the family. And the Lutz moved in, and that's when all the shit went crazy, that they went and made the fucking movie out of.
Right.
Amityville Horror. And, holy fuck, it was just crazy. I mean, December 18th, I think the family actually moved in, and they had a Catholic priest allegedly come by to bless the house, just like you see in the movie, supposedly at the request of Kathy Lutz. And on October 4th, 1979, a little more than 2 months after the release of the movie, the investigative television program In Search Of, you may remember, fucking Leonard Nimoy used to host that.
Mm-hmm.
They featured an episode that included an interview with who they claim is the real Amityville priest. And he wanted to remain anonymous, so they kept his face hidden.
Mm-hmm.
But he said, I was blessing the sewing room. It was cold. It was really cold in there. And he thought, well, this is peculiar. Because it was a lovely day out, and it was winter, but it didn't account for that kind of coldness. So he was sprinkling holy water, and then he heard a deep voice behind him saying, get out. So he said, it seemed directed toward me, that I was really quite startled. I felt a slap at one point on my face. I felt somebody slap me, and there was nobody there. And he just got the fuck out of that house, dude.
I know, it's fucked up. Actually, we have... I called up George Lutz, and George is with us tonight.
Is he?
Yeah.
I'd like to hear from him.
Hey, George. Thank you for joining us tonight. We really appreciate it. You, how you doing? Doing good. You all right, Paisan?
I'm fine. I don't know what struck me peculiar all of a sudden.
I don't know why. I shouldn't be laughing. It's Halloween.
It's just solid.
Out here. George.
Stay away from laughing.
Sorry, George. Mr. Lutz.
Do you have a cold?
Yeah, I do.
We all do.
What do you want to know?
I want to know, when you moved into that house, did you have any idea all this shit was going to go down?
Well, let me tell you. Yes and no.
Let's see.
Really? Yes and no? So you weren't quite sure?
You could say that.
I guess we'll have to say that.
You're a man of few words, aren't you?
Yes.
So, you know, what happened? Can you talk about it?
We're just really scared to talk about you here.
I hear you.
Uh-huh.
There were like flies. It was cold in the heat. There was a wall full of blood. Bricks. There was kids.
I don't see any kids.
Yeah, you sure you're not talking about the movie?
What the fuck is that?
Guys, I'm getting the fuck out of here.
Well, he fucking took off.
No shit.
Much for that.
Dude, okay, this is prefaces. We're in front of the house, and there are no children present.
But we keep hearing some fucking kids.
Is it Jody?
And I don't want to find out, that's for fucking sure.
Got fucking water and mud all over my vans.
This fucking guy.
Bullshit.
Well, what are we going to fucking do? Do we have to go in this fucking house?
I think we do. It's Halloween.
Still on the market, right? I don't think anybody bought it yet.
You think we can go in?
It's a nice enough house, a little Dutch colonial number.
Yeah. But,
I know back in the day, when they bought that house, it was because of the history, you know, it was listed at like $80,000.
Wow.
Now, today, it sells for $1.5 million.
Fuck, I wish we wouldn't have bought the house.
$1.5 million. Yeah, fuck, I guess because everybody's like, I ain't buying that fucking house.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful house, nicely, you know, I like the little lights, the little black shutters here. The crazy windows, I think, were on the back, and
I think somebody
changed them out.
Damn, I got... What, is there any water around you? I keep walking in these puddles. Fucking puddles.
I hate puddles.
It's Halloween. How about a little Alice Cooper, Prince of Darkness?
Let's do that.
Let's do it. Good to have a little Alice on Halloween.
I appreciate the music because, I mean, it's a little fucking freaky out.
I wish George would come back. I kind of felt a little more comfortable when he was there.
It was great talking to him. he was very informative. This fucking cigar with.
Yeah, I think I want a beer, too.
Why
don't we pop a beer?
Yeah.
And then we'll start a smoke, our little stogies, and then we'll contemplate on going in.
That's a good idea.
Here we go.
Nice. What do you got over there?
Oh, dude, I got something really nice.
You were really excited when we were packing for the trip. You were like, you ain't gonna fucking believe what I got for this trip.
Oh, yeah. So in the festivities of Halloween, we have brought the Monkey Zombie Porter.
Oh. This is by Tallgrass Brewing Company?
I think it's Tallgrass.
Yeah, out of Kansas.
Yeah.
It's an American porter at 6.2% ABV.
With a great... cover. I mean, for the can, if you judge just on the can, 4.0.
Nice.
I mean, that's what drew me to the beer, was the can. And you feel it. It's like raised edges and stuff.
Oh, weird. It's like embossed or something.
Isn't it awesome?
That's
and then look on the side, there's like this weird like warning label.
What the fuck? Yeah. This is fucking cool. I'm fucking tripping out.
So 4.0 on the appearance of the label.
Yeah, we forgot to talk about that on another show recently. We forgot to talk about the label, but this one fucking, this is, yeah. This
have you ever felt a can? Can you feel the raised edges?
I know, quality shit right there, because it takes a little extra.
It says something about a grip can or something like that.
Oh, is that the idea?
Yeah, the tactical grip.
Tactical grip, I guess it was. I mean, you got to hold on to
something.
Hey, guys,
did y'all say something about grip?
Yeah.
We
weren't fucking calling for you when we said that, but
you guys were watching what was going on over there, were you?
What do you mean? What was going on over there?
I heard a kid scream. Did someone see you? Well, maybe. Okay.
Great. With the tactical grip can, it says here to prevent slippage while fleeing, which we might be doing from this fucking place if we're not careful.
Fuck. What was that?
I heard a little fucking snort over there.
Fucking this. I've been hearing pig noises.
I know, dude. This shit's freaking me the fuck out.
You think it's because we had that bacon cheeseburger earlier?
I know. Maybe it's coming out of my ass. Shit.
So.
I got my drink over here.
Oh, yeah. Let's start this beer.
Yeah, let's take
it. We can't see much.
It's dark. It's fucking
pretty
pitch,
dark
dude.
Out here. But, yeah. There's a little bit of light from the house. It's pitch black, though.
Yeah. I'd say it's pretty fucking dark, like a 3.5.
Yeah. So kind of a soapy lacing.
Yep, nice. A little bit of sudsy. Kind of sticks around a little bit. Let's get the aroma.
I'm hearing little kids, but there's no one out here with us.
I know.
And it was silent before we started recording.
Yeah.
Which is weird.
It's a nice, you know, I mean, he's obviously in a suburban little street kind of thing down here.
But there's no kids. Oh, like trick-or-treating, though.
Yeah, you figured you would be, but I haven't seen anybody all fucking
night. 11 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
I mean, what are you going to do?
Yeah, I see across the street, I mean, you know, there's a bunch of little houses over here. You know, really nice old school house, like that little gazebo thing over there, the little archway into the fucking backyard.
Yeah.
But the little house next door is a nice little porch wrap around, but I don't know if anybody's going to fucking...
I thought about going out to the boathouse and us starting this in the boathouse, but I thought, maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe we'll stay out front.
Yeah, for now, I think that's a good fucking idea. It's got a nice little... There's a nice fence around this place to keep people out.
Well, let's do our little aroma here.
Yeah, the aroma.
Mmm. That smells good.
Nice and roasty. I like that. This is a nice porter, man.
Oh, yeah.
A nice heavy porter.
Kind of brisk out tonight here in Long Island.
You'll touch it. You can smell a little bit of sweetness. I guess maybe kind of a dark fruit thing going.
Let's jump in, dude.
Nice little roast. Cheers. Let's give that a 3.5 at least.
Yeah.
Let's go for it. Nice.
That is good.
Yeah. It's got a nice deep flavor.
Full
body. Yeah,
full body, for sure.
But smooth.
Very smooth.
I like that.
Very smooth. Very nice porter.
I love a good porter, man. Just like I love a good brown. All that stuff on the heavy side, the brown ales and the stouts and the black ales even, and the porters. Black ales a little more on the hoppy side, obviously. But
I got you kind of started on a show or two back. A little bit of the black ale. You're like, I don't know. I'm thinking about it. Maybe I'll do it.
Good stuff. But, you know, it's kind of a crapshoot sometimes with the hoppy stuff.
You got your cutter?
No, I don't have one with me. You got one?
No.
Oh, but to chew it off, I guess. Be all right.
Hey, guys.
Yeah?
I can nibble off the ends.
No, that's okay.
That's cool, dude. Yeah, thank
last
you.
Last time you tried that, you got it all fucking slobbery and wet. You lingered on it a little too fucking long.
I promise I won't get too slobbery.
I wish I could believe. This fucking
you let him nibble on one of your cigars?
It's a big mistake. I admit it.
My teeth are like a cigar cutter.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Oh, do it, Genghis. Do it. Puff on it.
This fucking guy. You can leave any time. Why don't you
go? Dude, go back to the van.
Go the house.
Look
around, see if there's a way we can get in.
Where's McCheese?
I hope that fucker isn't around here. We don't need his ass. Last time he came, he was dressed all in black, which was weird, because he had the fucking, still had the tails, the coat with the tails, but it was all black.
Did you hear the latest lawsuit he's got?
What's he got going on?
He's suing Burger King for the Black Whopper.
The Black Whopper.
He had a copyright infringement. It's a copyright infringement on his costume from Halloween a few years back.
Because he created it or something?
Yeah. Because he went in blackface.
Fucking McCheese. Fucking guy.
Did you call Mel?
Mel? No.
I didn't either.
I haven't heard from him in a while.
I didn't either.
Is he still around?
I saw him a few weeks ago. What about Arnold? Was Arnold coming tonight?
He said he might show up, but he kind of got some, you know, he's back into movies again.
Yeah, sure.
Speaking of which, he did a fucking zombie movie.
Maggie.
Did you ever see it? I never got to see it.
I have it, but I hadn't watched it yet.
It's supposed to be pretty good.
Oh, dude, it looks awesome.
Yeah.
His daughter turns into a zombie. He's trying to keep the townspeople from killing her. It looks really good.
It's like a reverse of a zombie movie, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Usually it's everyone's zombies. We're trying to stay alive. Fuck all the zombies. Kill them. Here they put
except
like
for my daughter.
Right. So they keep a fucking human element on it and go, well, what if it's somebody you cared about? And, you know, you want to fucking protect them from the normal people rather than the zombies. So they kind of flip the script a little bit.
God, I'm a fucking moron.
I heard the fucking reviews on it, and it was kind of mixed, but a lot of people generally were pretty positive about it before it came out.
Do you think they'll get some matches or something? Oh, look at you.
There you go.
The cherry red?
Yep.
Nice.
Nice.
Oh, nice porter, nice cigar. Mm-hmm. Oh, we got to finish the rating.
Oh, yeah, let's finish that real quick. We said the taste on it. Maybe a three and a half? It's not blowing me away, but it's not bad at all. Yeah, a little bit of good. Watery. Mouthfeel, about a three.
Yeah.
And then the taste, about three and a half. Mm-hmm. Whatever you want to go with that one. So overall, maybe three and a half.
If it wasn't so watery, I would probably go a little bit higher.
Yeah. I wish there was a little more maybe a solid three. To it. Sorry, puffing on my Ashton here. I love the Ashtons. Good classic cigar to have.
That's better. Better.
Always go with a nice porter, too. So anyway, you know.
You think anybody's going to, like, notice us sitting here in lawn chairs, smoking cigars and drinking beer in front of the house?
In front of a residential house. Fucking Long Island.
A little weird.
Yeah, these fucking guys. But, you know, again, real quick, I know a lot of bad shit happened here. Mm-hmm. It's a nice place, man. I heard they got a finished basement, large deck with views on both sides.
I think
sides.
You want to buy it.
You get views of the Amityville River, a renovated boathouse, central stereo system. I don't know what that's about.
Dude, Walt, that...
So you can drown out the little fucking girl chorus singing?
From the recent royalty checks we received, you may be able to afford it.
All our fucking money we're making.
But hey. McCheese said... I'm going to get my cut, and then you guys get the rest.
Whatever that is.
Yeah. So we'll probably see nothing.
You know why that fucking frog probably hangs out here? So you can get all these fucking flies that are supposed to be up in that one room.
Oh, no shit.
So you can just get past the fucking bloody walls.
Yeah, that's true.
Hey, there's John. He's waving us in. I guess he found a way in.
Should we? Ah, fuck it.
Yeah. Let's let him explore a little bit.
I'm putting on my finger.
If his head doesn't roll down outside of the house into the deck, we'll know we can go in. We'll give him a little ways.
Why has he got a crowbar?
He's gonna fuck this place up.
You see, it's got the little lock on it, mm-hmm. where like a realtor's got the key inside or whatever.
He found that and just bolted it open.
Yeah,
this fucking guy. Nice going, John. No, you're fine, John. Go ahead.
Go in. Go in, dude. Go. We'll be right there. 1-2 minutes.
Just gotta finish this one thing here.
Yeah.
God, look at him. He's such a jackass. You think he'd get dressed? He's still in the fucking black jock.
That's what I was going to say. Mountain boots, a jock, and a white beater, like a little tank top.
But all black.
Oh, yeah.
Like, where do you even find a black white beater?
Did you see that he put the little marks, like the football marks for the lines under his eyes?
The
like
fucking camouflage paint.
He's fucking Ram. He's Ram butt.
Exactly. It's very apropos, I'm afraid.
So, chilling out here. I'm hearing something weird. Sounds like a lawnmower, but who's going to be mowing the lawn at 11 at night.
No shit, like what the fuck's going on here? It's reminding me of that fucking movie we saw.
Yeah.
That was a good fucking movie, by the way.
Deathgasm.
I saw that Deathgasm.
That was the shit, dude.
Dude, that was fucking great. In the vein of, I kind of think of it as a spiritual successor to your beloved Trick or Treat.
Dude.
Was that a fucking ghost train?
Are there tracks around here? I guess so.
I would think so. The fuck do I know about this? Let me see.
I didn't see any tracks, but if there are, whatever.
No, there's no reason for us to worry about that.
I'm sorry, we keep kind of like getting like sidetracked here, but there's actually a lot of weird stuff going on. There's a little kid's like over here. There's pigs. There's a frog staring at us. And John's in a black jock, and it's like, what, 40-something degrees out here.
I can't fucking stand any of it.
So, what are you going to do? I got to say, as brief as it was really cool talking to George Lutz and his experience in the house, though he didn't give us a lot. It was interesting, I thought.
Fair enough.
Did you find that interesting at all?
Interesting is a very
strong word. For what we got.
It's a lot of fucking... kind of a subjective term.
I follow. It's kind of interesting. I tell you what, we just saw recently, we saw and we're in part of one of our interviews when he calls in, is saw a really cool movie called Deathgasm tonight. And the soundtrack was kind of cool. Well, we're going to tell you a little bit about the movie before we go into the house. And then when we get into the house, we'll just see what happens. But I tell you what, let's check out a band that was featured on the soundtrack called Skullfist. This is Bad for Good. Retro 80s type thing.
Yeah, that was good. They got a good sound, man.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, I mean, that train, that's the Amityville Polytechnic Institute stop over there nearby us.
Oh, okay.
So that's what you're hearing. But, you know, I think that movie, like I was trying to say earlier, is a spiritual successor to your beloved Trick or Treat.
Well, you know what?
What do you think?
Yeah, I would say that. I think
the thing about the 80s, sorry to keep interrupting you, the thing about the 80s is when Trick or Treat came out, everything was much more, I mean, it was very indicative of the 80s, right? It had a very 80s feel to it. This one has a much more, I mean, since then, Shaun of the Dead, other sort of horror comedies have come out since then. So it's got more of a self-awareness to it that a lot of modern comedies do and plays with a lot of the...
Right.
Stereotypes and stuff in a new way, and I think that's pretty cool. That's what made it really nice. So I like comedy with my horror. I like that, and it's a very Peter Jackson thing to do, which I believe Jason worked with Peter on the Lord of the Rings movies, if I'm not mistaken, as a visual effects artist. So I think he kind of, you know, learned from the master. I would think he's probably a big fan of
totally.
Peter's Dead Again. I think it's called something else in its native New Zealand, but...
What, it's not called Deathgasm?
No, Dead Again.
Oh, Dead Again, okay.
I think that movie actually has a different name overseas.
Well, I gotta say, it was really cool, and we chatted a little bit during the movie, and it almost, I mean, for fans of, like, Kevin Smith, it was like a Mallrats and Superbad meet zombies, or, I guess, possessed people. Not really zombies, more possessed. It was like Demons, that movie Demons.
Right, right.
But a little bit more comedy involved in it, which made it a real fun movie to watch, for me at least.
Definitely. By the way, I want to correct myself. It's not Dead Again, it's Dead Alive.
Dead Alive, yeah.
Dead Alive
right.
is the Peter Jackson movie. The original title was Brain Dead.
Oh, really? I didn't
know
that.
Yeah. But that came out in 1992. So that's like a 20-year-old movie.
And it was supposed to be the grossest movie of all time at that point. That
was gory,
what it was
fuck.
Coined as.
But gleefully gory. It was gory, but not in a... I mean, well, like Evil Dead, right? Where they just said, fuck it. How much shit can we, you know, how crazy can we get with this? For the fun of it.
Right.
The sheer pleasure of just like, check how fucking gross we did. We could have all this blood, vomiting blood in people's faces, and it's like 3 or 4... you know, dozen gallons of blood on somebody, they just soak them in it. Because, like, why do a little when you can do a lot?
And I got to say, the movie was shot very well. The acting was very good.
Mm-hmm.
And I talked about the real special effects they used rather than just CG stuff.
Practical effects are always better.
Oh, yeah.
These days, everything's fucking visual effects. They'll have a guy with a sword, you know, cut a guy's neck, and you can just see, like, this cartoon blood
mm-hmm.
splash out. You're like, that just looks cheesy, dude. I mean, I know it's cheaper. You can do it without having to have the little blood, the little squibs on the person.
Right.
Because remember back in the 70s movies, you always knew when a dude was going to get shot. You could see the fucking, like yeah. he had a pack of cigarettes under his shirt or something.
But and I all
of
like a sudden,
that's with a blow.
Yeah, but yeah.
That's what we grew up with. We're used to it. But now it's like, we don't need to do any of that. Wear whatever you want. You can wear mm-hmm. a swimsuit, and we can just do the fucking CG
right.
gun hole, bullet hole on you when you get shot. I'm like, I guess, but it just looks so much cooler when it's practical.
Agreed.
So I like all the practical shit he did in this one. And did a lot of cool makeup effects and stuff.
Hold on. Look up there.
Oh, fuck.
Why is John smiling and waving?
Is that John?
I think it is.
What the... Holy fuck. There's John behind you. What the fuck? Oh, now nobody in the window.
Okay, maybe we'll just hang here for a little bit longer.
Maybe not go in right here. John, what the fuck, dude? Was that you upstairs? Were you upstairs just now?
Guys, this place is fucked up.
Yeah, no shit. Dude, I could have sworn that was you up there just now.
Dude, why are you breathing so hard?
You would be breathing if you went and had that thing up your ass.
What? Did it molest you? What's going on?
Fuck, what are you talking about?
All I'm saying is I was feeling some hands in some very awkward places.
And you were upset by that?
And you find that awkward?
You guys are being assholes. I'm saying there's some weird shit going on.
I believe it, actually. That, all kidding aside.
Any flies or fucking pigs floating in the air? Or
blood in the wall?
Blood in the wall?
No, none of that.
Not your kind of weird, huh?
Like, no, it's a Saturday afternoon yeah. for him.
That was fine with me. I don't know what the problem was.
Hey, assholes. All I'm saying is beware.
Yeah. Well, you're going back with us.
No.
Dude, you're fired. I'm serious. Look at me. Look at me. You're fired if you don't go back in. We'll all go in together as a team.
We'll put a stop to your fucking... Yeah.
Grab a beer.
Your checks.
Just going to chill out. Yeah, your checks are going to stop coming.
Dad McMahon, you
That's
won't see
bullshit.
Me.
Dude, well, you know, make your choice.
I'm just letting you know how it is, dude.
Yeah, exactly.
You guys better wait till McCheese gets here.
I didn't think he made the trip. Holy shit. Look up in the window. Right now.
Holy fuck.
Fucking blinds moving.
Holy shit. What the fuck, dude?
I'm not going back in there, guys.
I don't
think
we should go inside. I mean, no. We can just do the show out here.
I guess we could.
It's a little fucked up.
Let's not be pussies.
You think so? You think we need to go in?
I'm going to finish my beer first.
Let's do that.
I mean, we're out here in lawn chairs. No one's said anything yet. We brought a little plastic, like, fold-up table to put our beers on.
What are we going to do? A whole camping site on this fucking place. Private property.
I'm surprised they don't have cops out here at night, you know?
They're probably too fucking scared to come out here.
I guess so.
So, anyway, what do you think about that? Do you think that horror movies are better with a little comedy? I mean, surely not every horror movie can have comedy in it. Mm. If Halloween had comedy in it, it would have been a little weird, right?
Right, right.
Like it, a little shtick or something?
That it depends been a on the movie. Because the 80s, especially after the success of, like, the first... Let's just take the first Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yeah.
The first one, very serious. Mm-hmm. There was a couple cheesy lines that Freddy said, but yeah, for the most part, it was kind of a spooky movie.
Mm-hmm.
Second one, they put in the comedy factor, and it sucked.
And Friday the 13th, also around that time, and that didn't have any one-liners.
No.
I mean, that was just plain old... Now, there's obviously moments of levity where, like, mm-hmm. you know, they'd had always have, like, the one fat, geeky guy who
right.
was kind of a comic relief thing. They'd have comic relief, but I don't think that's not the same as just, you know, where people acting really goofy and doing, like,
right.
a little shtick or something.
Sometimes that bothers me. It just... Now, it depends on the movie.
And it fits the metal horror movie. For some
yeah.
reason.
But, I mean, was as comical as Trick or Treat is now.
It's more comical because it's so out of
date. Yeah, but was it really that comical when it came out?
At the time, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that's a good point. Well, I mean, like Shaun of the Dead. Shaun of the Dead has pretty good horror, as your sort of, you know, standard zombie movie.
Right.
But it's also good comedy. lot of great comedy. But I guess it's sort of parodying that. Do you think the Deathgasm was parodying heavy metal horror movies, or was it paying homage? I think it was more paying homage than making fun of.
I think it was paying homage. I agree with you.
Like, it was like having fun, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like a bunch of friends going, let's just fucking
That's what I loved about it. It had kind of the Judd Apatow kind of vibe of Superbad meets Mallrats meets, you know, Possessed People. You know, it was really cool.
And I enjoyed it a lot, yeah.
I like how they infused the metal music in. And, you know, he's a metalhead. He was the one that, you know, he's persecuted, kind of, which brings in the trick-or-treat vibe. You know what I'm saying? So it had a lot of elements I really dug, and it was entertaining throughout, from start to finish. Right. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was done very well. There was another movie I saw recently called Exeter that was a little bit similar in that it's a bunch of kids that go to this asylum, and they somehow get some kid gets possessed by these spirits inside this insane asylum. Mm-hmm. But the thing is they mix in heavy metal music. They play a lot of heavy metal in it. And it's the same type vibe. It's almost like a horror comedy. I mean, it's really good special effects. It's very well done. Kind of like Deathgasm in that way. But Deathgasm was cool in that I like how they found this old music that summoned the devil, you know?
Right. It played on that classic trope of doing something like that, of saying, like, you know, you play heavy metal, you're getting involved with the devil, all that.
That's like Trick or Treat, though.
Right, exactly. They played on that. That's why I think it really was sort of, I don't know, it's almost as if Kevin Smith decided to make an homage to Trick or Treat.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
I mean, it's kind of what Deathgasm was.
Yeah.
A heavy metal sort of, through the lens of heavy metal, you know, or comedy, rather, let's look at a heavy metal movie from the 80s, and it kind of played with all that. Like, for instance, the girl is usually the cute virginal girl, and she's going to end up, you know, showing her tits or something, and then the guy's got to save her and trip the... But then this one, she was kind of more of a badass. She whips out the axe and starts cutting dudes in half. She, like, cuts that dude's head in half and says, "What's up?" And the birds are like, "Holy fuck."
You know the scene where he's, like, dreaming that he's, like, the metal god, and he's on the mountain?
And he looks like Alexi Leja.
Well, it reminds me of that video game.
Brutal Legend?
Yeah.
Yeah, I fucking love that game.
Yeah, it reminded me of that a little bit.
Which was doing the same thing, kind of paying homage to all those stereotypes and all that heavy metal sort of idea with a little touch of, you know, humor, a little tongue-in-cheek.
Sure.
Which I'm totally down with. That's the thing. If you want to pay homage to it, kind of have fun with it and goof around with it, that's totally fine. But there's an undercurrent, there's an underlying respect for the source material.
Oh,
you can tell while they're kind of having fun with it, you can tell they dig heavy metal.
You know what, though? If they would have done... I mean, if you take a movie like Sinister and they try to mix in comedy with that, it wouldn't work.
Right. See, that's what I was getting at.
Yeah.
Is, can you take any sort of horror movie and have a little element of comedy? Or what was that one, Mother or Mama, whatever, where it's the weird fucking mother
with the kids
on the ceiling and shit. Yeah, all that kind of weird, kooky shit. You put a joke in that.
Or The Visit, even.
Yeah, start putting goofy jokes in that shit. It's not going to work.
Right. You know, or Green Inferno. I just saw that.
Or The Ring or something.
Yeah.
You're taking the wrong approach. And that's what I mean. It doesn't work with everything. But if for some reason, with heavy metal, it seems to work.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Is there a really serious heavy metal movie that didn't have some comedy in it? I mean, even Trick or Treat had some comedy, right? It wasn't all comedy, but a joke here and there.
A little bit.
It had a tongue a little bit in the cheek. It recognized that, you know, you can't take this too seriously.
Well, he was the underdog. You kind of felt bad for him. And then when he got, you know, against the little preppy dudes, you're like, yeah! You know, that type of thing. Just kind of like in this thing a little bit.
Right.
His brother was kind of a dick. Or not his brother, but his cousin was a dick. And when he gets him down, what is that frog doing?
I don't know. He's fucking going crazy.
I know.
He's like,
what are you doing?
I smell flies somewhere real, real fucking nearby. Well, you want to play?
Well, we play some music.
Yeah, something from Trick or Treat, or
yeah, let's do that. I love that. I tell you what, I love that CD. Probably one of the better movie soundtracks ever, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And Fastway was the only band on it. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Let me think. There's a title track, Trick or Treat.
After Midnight. Always love that one. How about If You Could See? Ooh.
And now your life it's upside, folds from beneath you. The moments of the past, forget tomorrow, it brings a
The whole album was all Fastway?
Yeah.
Written completely by those guys.
And, you know, I didn't... The funny thing was is the soundtrack had some new music on it, but some of it was pulled off some of their other releases.
Oh, okay.
And it wasn't like Say What You Will or anything like that. It was like darker music that they had come up with or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, after that record, I think Dave King left the band... I think he went to Kathmandu. I think that's the band he was in. And
oh, really?
I'm not sure what he's up to now.
Okay.
But Flogging Molly or something like that. But,
okay. And you had old Fast Eddie Clark on the guitar work?
Oh, yeah.
He probably did most of the writing, I guess.
I'm not sure, to be honest with you. I'm not sure. But they had like three or four really good albums. And then after that, it was kind of a... switching role of a cast of characters for the most part of, you know, who's going to be in the band next type thing.
Mm-hmm.
You never knew. So he never reunited with King. I think King had enough success with this other stuff he was up to, and he said, hey, forget about it. I don't need this.
Because Fast Eddie was with, he played with Motorhead, right?
It was probably with before, Motorhead for a while.
Before Fastway.
And then Fastway was supposed to be Fast Eddie Clark and Pete Way from UFO.
Oh, that's where they got that.
Yeah,
oh,
and okay. Then Pete Way bailed out before they happened.
How weird.
But I remember I saw them, they opened it up for Maiden on the Peace of Mind tour.
Nice.
It was Fastway, Saxon, and Maiden.
Oh, nice.
Guess who the best band on the bill was that night?
Fastway?
Saxon.
You were digging the Saxon?
Oh, dude, Saxon. I love Maiden, don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And I was there for Maiden. I mean, 100%. Saxon put on such a monstrous show that night, they blew Maiden off the stage.
Fucking A.
They really did.
Oh, wow.
And then ever since that show, Maiden has just been on top of their game. Maybe just had an off night that night.
Maybe.
I don't know. Or Saxon just had one of those nights where just everything clicked,
mm-hmm.
and they were just phenomenal. I don't know. They were awesome, though.
You dig the new stuff. It's fucking phenomenal.
Fucking phenomenal.
That's cool. I mean, I don't know. I guess it's a pity. I know you always talk about, whenever you talk about Fastway, you talk about it kind
look
of
at
like...
Look at that frog's eyes. Are they red?
They seem a little fucking... look like they're staring at us.
That's so weird.
Maybe we can move a little further up the driveway or something.
Yeah, we should.
This fucking guy.
What were we going to say about Fastway?
I was going to say, you always speak about them with great... I don't know, like you just like a certain reverence or something. Did they ever do anything besides that one album that was that big?
The first album was the biggest record.
That was the biggest one? Okay.
Yeah. And they were kind of a one-hit wonder.
Okay.
I mean, as far as radio commercially successful. So it was kind of shocking that they got picked to do the Trick or Treat soundtrack.
Yeah, that's what I thought. That's what I thought was interesting. I mean, usually it's, at least if they were done now, or even in the last 10, 20 years, they would have picked a bunch of different. Because it's always like, let's turn this into a fucking, you know, album, what do you call it, a label extravaganza. Like if it's Warner Brothers doing a label, let's get all of our best artists from Warner Brothers and put them on this album, you know what I mean, to promote them.
I mean, if you look at the 80s, I mean, say Nightmare on Elm Street 3.
Mm-hmm.
And you had Dokken with Dream Warriors.
Mm-hmm.
Let's play Dream Warriors.
Yeah, definitely.
Vincent, Love Kills. I forget some of the other bands on there. And it was a pretty solid little record. I mean, lots of bands. And then you had this Shocker movie.
Right.
And that was goofy. Goofy as fuck.
Oh, was it full Megadeth or was it just Dave Mustaine?
It was Megadeth. Yeah.
Did No More Mr. Nice Guy.
Yeah.
Pretty classic tune.
You want to play that?
Yeah, why not?
Let's do it.
The
thing that was cool about that is they had this band called the Dudes of Wrath.
Uh-huh.
And the guitar player was like Guy Man Dude.
Guy Man
Dude. Desmond Child was on there, Paul Stanley.
So Desmond Child did play, huh? I know he's more of a writer.
He had a record where he played. He did his own record. He sang and everything. He sings on the Dudes of Wrath with Stanley.
Sweet.
Yeah.
What I find interesting is that Alice Cooper... I mean, did he ever do, like, a soundtrack to a horror movie? It seems like a natural. But I can't say I remember of anything. Well, on The Prince of Darkness, the John Carpenter movie.
We know he's in it, obviously.
He lent his song Prince of Darkness to it, too.
Okay.
That was off the Raise Your Fist and Yell record.
But that's it, huh? For Alice Cooper? And doing movies? As far as horror movies?
And he's had a cameo in that. I don't remember if he's done anything past that, really.
Hmm. I could be wrong.
And then we had Mr. Lordy. Rear Lordy did that horror movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really good. Have you ever seen that?
I never got to see that.
Oh, it's a killer movie. We should watch that sometime.
It's in like an asylum or something, right?
And they're like these monsters in the asylum.
That's fucking awesome, though, on Coop. I mean, he's still touring, and the dude's like 67.
Dude, I just saw
so fucking old,
Cooper open up for the Crew. Mm-hmm. He was better than the Crew.
That's a lot of people have been hearing about him, man. You're just like, damn, dude.
And the Crew, I mean, the last time I saw him, it was vice versa. The Crew was better than Cooper.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Cooper was good, but I was like, holy shit, Cooper, this is the best I've seen him in years. But the Crew, when I saw them that other time, they were on fire. They played really well.
Oh, nice.
This time, I mean, it was the second time of the farewell tour.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're done in January this year.
Mm-hmm.
Or not January, just into December.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, you know, it kind of felt like they're kind of going through the motions at this point. And I get it. I mean, they're probably tired and, you know, we're playing the same set every night. We've been playing the same set for 2 years. It's like, come on, mix it up a little bit, you know? You know, your true fans that are going to go see you twice on your second time around, you should be playing all these, like, deep tracks.
Yeah.
You know, put in a couple hits, but play some deeper stuff, and they're not doing it. And I don't understand why.
Yeah, maybe he figures I've got time. I'm not going to stop touring. It's Crew that's stopping. I think they're just
looking for that big paycheck. But where I saw them, dude, that arena was not full.
Huh.
First time, packed. Second time, not so much.
Interesting. I guess there is sort of a thing, and that may be a topic one day for us, about is there too much touring you can do where it starts to actually hurt you?
I think that...
Like Metallica did that fucking 19-month tour where it's just...
Yeah.
Tired of seeing you, dude. We get it.
Oh, yeah, no. I mean, you don't have enough new product.
Yeah.
At first, they said that we're going to do a new... we got this movie coming out. We're going to do a new record for it. And then we're going to end the band. Mm-hmm. And then it came up to, well, the movie's happening. We're not going to do any more new music. And the new music they're putting out is not that good.
Fuck.
It's just like the magic's ended as far as songwriting goes.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Like I said, that the time is home. The first time when I thought, okay, it's the last time I'm going to see Crew, they were really good. Second time I saw them, I'm like, oh, God, I think I wasted some money here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or, you know, I'm glad I went, but... Oh, is that your phone ringing?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, shit, let me take a look.
Grab it.
Don't worry, the number's like an international number or something. You know what? I think I know who this is. I think this is Jason.
Oh, sweet. Let's talk
Check
to him.
Check this out.
Hey, what's up, Middle fans? I'm Jason Lee Heldon, writer and director of Deathgasm. Horns up!
Jason?
Hey.
Hey.
What's up? How's it going, Matt?
Ah, it's going great. How you doing? Oh, hold on a second, man. Dude, where are you going?
What? I gotta go back to the car. Oh, shit, would you forget something?
All right. Sorry, Jason. It seems my co-host is gonna go off and find our sound man, John. He's apparently gotten himself into trouble somewhere behind the van, so he's gonna check that out. But,
Shit, I hope he's all right.
I hope so. He's got this habit, I don't know why, he's a weird guy, and he rarely wears anything but his own special brand of jock straps that he likes to wear. I don't know what, he's a weird guy, you wouldn't understand.
That's awkward. Yeah.
He's been doing it for years, but he's always, every time we start this stuff, he's got to go somewhere and take a shit. I don't know what the problem is. In any case, he's going to go check it out. But let me take a moment to congratulate you on Deathgasm, dude. Apparently the reception's been pretty good ever since South by Southwest debut. Isn't that where it happened?
Yeah, it's been phenomenal, and we've just taken it around the world. I just literally flew in from Spain yesterday, and yeah, it's everywhere around the world. The fans are loving it. It's great.
Cool. Yeah, I mean, I saw on Rotten Tomatoes they have it, I think, somewhere near 90%, and everywhere else, like, you know, Metacritic and IMDb, they're all near like 7 out of 10. That's not bad for a full length debut, directing debut, right?
Yeah, and especially, you know, considering it's a splatter horror, like a heavy metal-based splatter horror, which is, you know, you'd think it's a pretty niche movie, but it's getting out there to people. It's great.
Yeah, it's true. Well, I mean, we, Rags and I, recently checked it out, video on demand, and we fucking loved it, dude. I have to tell you, this is just classic comedy horror, we think, in like the vein of kind of the Evil Dead films, you know, but with a nice overtone of heavy metal that's totally up our alley. How long have you been working on this idea before you were finally able to bring it to the big screen like this?
I think from writing the script to premiering at South by Southwest, it was exactly a year, or, you know, around about a year. So it was a pretty fast process. I think the title, me and my friends were just like jamming on different titles. Uh-huh. I think Deathgasm came up. And there was like no story or anything. It was just this kind of mildly offensive title, and we just wanted to run with that. And then the New Zealand Film Commission and Dark Sky Films put together this kind of competition, and I had this title, and then just decided to like put me and my friends in the movie, like circa 1996, when we were like long-haired kind of Deicide t-shirt wearing metalheads, and then it's kind of the origin of it.
Oh, nice. And you, by trade, you're basically a visual effects artist, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's so this is kind of the polar opposite of that. Like, I can't. It's you know, it was kind of me. I was doing like really long hours, you know, at Weta Digital, and I wanted to do something that didn't involve computers. So I wanted to get out there and work with actors, do practical effects, lots of blood, just, you know, basically do the stuff that I was reading about, you know, in Fangoria magazine, and, you know, like my heroes.
Oh, totally, yeah. We can see that. I mean, it's got a great, a lot of practical effects. We were really excited about that. So many movies these days are, you know, there's lots of great movies out there, but you notice now, you hardly ever see, especially on television, a gunshot or a knife cut or something that isn't obviously CG blood, you know?
Yeah, it's hard to watch that sort of stuff. Like, I think especially horror, it's organic, and it, like, you know, with comic book movies and sci-fi movies, it makes a lot of sense to use that much CGI. But yeah, horror, I think it's kind of gritty. You need to see it happening, you know. So I'm always for the practical effects where possible.
Totally, and it showed. I love that the one where the girl comes in and cuts the dude's head right in half with the axe.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was great. And then her right through the head when he flops down, she's like, what's up?
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought that was just fantastic.
Just casual, you know, just chopping people's faces off.
Yeah, almost like, I didn't even see you guys there. What are y'all up to, you know?
That, yeah, yeah.
That's what
yeah.
was great. There was so many little great horror bits that we really thought were good. I'm sure one of the ones that people talk about is the classic with those two jokers with the mask who cut the guy's head off, and then he gets all pissed off, like, what the hell are you people doing? That's an expensive rug.
Oh, I love those guys so much. Yeah, yeah, they were great.
That little bit was hilarious, putting the head back on and everything. We couldn't stop laughing. So is that part of the, I mean, I'm sure you had a full-blown script and everything, you were all professional about it, but I guess there's also a certain amount of, and this may be even be the big fun of doing a movie like this, is maybe as you're filming it, just go, wait a minute, I just got this great idea that would be a cool little bit to do. It'll be really funny. Was there a lot of kind of, or even a little bit of improv on the show for the actors?
Totally. I mean, I kind of, you know, I gave them a lot of freedom to bring their own stuff to it, and it always pays off when you do that, I think. And instead of just reading the lines, you know, you get them to like actually, you know, bring something of their own experience in there, and then they're enormously funny people, so that worked out really well. But Yeah, even the script changed so much day to day just because of the practical effects. We basically, you know, had to change a lot of stuff, you know, and write the script around the practical effects.
Mm-hmm.
And which is always interesting as well, you know. It's like, we can't do this effect. What can we do? Like, and you know, yeah, it was cool.
That's nice. And you say you worked at Weta, so you worked on some pretty big movies recently, haven't you?
Yeah. It was the last few films I worked on were like The Great Gatsby, Wolverine, and there's one that hasn't come out yet, Gods of Egypt. It's Alex Proyas, you know, the Crow director.
Oh wow, Dark City.
Yeah. So it's Dark City. So it's his latest film.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah. So, you know, keep an eye out for that.
Oh, for sure. I always like his work. So did you? Have you? I'm sure you've met and talked to Peter Jackson, right? Who's the current sort of New Zealand hero?
I haven't officially really talked to him. I've only encountered him when I was coming out of a bathroom and he was going in, and it was kind of awkward because I freaked out because, you know, he's a legend, he's a hero.
Oh yeah,
of mine,
for sure.
I was trying to open the door for him, but I was kind of in the way, and it was really weird. And and also someone had peed in the bathroom, like on the floor, and I was like, I want to say it wasn't me. Like it was someone else, but I just didn't say that, so he probably thought it was me. It was great. Weird, but yeah, he's such a you know, iconic. Like, he's a New Zealand hero, so it's an honor being able to work in the same building as him, and yeah,
sure, and of course probably a major influence with movies like Brain Dead and stuff, right?
Totally, yeah. I mean, I think I remember seeing Bad Taste when I was like, I think I was like 9 years old. It was they were playing it in a department store, you know, like, you know, the wall of TVs that they have in department stores. Like they were just, someone was playing it like 4 o'clock, like in a weekday, just out. So I wandered in after school and just saw Bad Taste, and I like watched it right to the end, and just, it traumatized me in a really good way. It was a life changing experience.
As a lot of those kinds of movies are. And that's, you know, maybe that's the thing. This kind of movie, this Deathgasm, may be that for some other new crowd.
Yes.
And that's probably part of the...
Yeah, let's show it to some 9-year-olds. That'd be great. Let's see what it does.
Well, I mean, you know, all kidding aside, I mean, that's the thing that's kind of cool about this, is these kind of movies never really go away. They may go underground for a little bit as tastes change and stuff, but people always come back to this stuff. I mean, this has the elements of, like, you know, Trick or Treat from back in the day, which is obviously my co-host's, one of his favorite movies, is the name Ragman, you know, that's why it's called that.
Of course.
He talks about it all the time, and one of the big things that goes along with it, what really sells it to people, this particular niche, as you talked about, is the music. And I guess you used a local band for a lot of it, Bullet Belt?
Yeah, Bullet Belt had a couple of songs. I think there was like 4 New Zealand bands in total. But
nice.
Then we had, we've got, you know, bands from Australia, we've got bands from like Canada, the US, Norway. There's actually 3 bands from Norway, so... Yeah, there's a really good mix, and you know, like, there's been a bit of talk about doing a sequel, so now I've got some more contacts for like other you know, bands from around the world. I really want to do like a sort of a world tour, like a United Nations of metal. Just have all these you know, Sepultura from Brazil, and
oh yeah,
it'd be great.
That would be fantastic.
That's the vision.
Well, that's the thing. There was a strong, I mean, and I guess because it kind of fits the horror vibe a little more, there was a strong lean towards the whole black metal side with the Corpse Paint and stuff and all that kind of stuff. But I really liked it. And I'm surprised there weren't more, unless I just didn't notice them, more cameos. But maybe the sequel will be able to have more of that.
I think it's just hard. Like, I was actually talking to someone about in LA about the cameos, and it's... I think it's a lot easier over here when you've got so many iconic musicians just kind of like floating around and like contacts and stuff. But, you know, in New Zealand, we, you know, we really struggle with that because there aren't a lot of well-known New Zealand metalheads, and and flying people over is like really hard. But yeah, definitely for the sequel, I'd love to get some, you know, iconic, you know, metal icons to like just come in. And I like on Trick or Treat when Ozzy's like the televangelist.
Right, exactly. That's what I was thinking of. I love stuff like that. I've always fantasized when I was a young guy in college, you know, I've always fantasized one day, hey, I'll grow up and make movies. And I thought, and I was always kind of keeping in my head sort of an imaginary roster of people I'd get, and a lot of them were cameos of my favorite, you know, metal and rock musicians, because I don't know, I just seemed it would be cool, because the people in the audience would be like, I know that guy, you know, that kind of stuff. Said, I don't know what it is, but metal seems to work so well with certain genres, especially horror, obviously, but people never seem to, as I was saying earlier, lose excitement for that. They hear that something like this happens and they all just start, all the metalheads start coming out of the woodwork going, when is this movie happening? Where can we find it, you know? Did you meet a lot of people who came up to you and said, dude, I can't believe you made this movie and it was great and thank you so much?
Oh, totally. I mean, the fan response has been phenomenal, and it's it really keeps me going. You know, I kind of feed off that, because you know, it's a really hard process making films, and like I said, I came back from Spain, and I was just, you know, inundated with just dozens of metalheads, just and horror fans, not just metalheads, like but you know, they're just coming up and just such an overwhelming response, you know. It's been cool. Even at South by Southwest, when it first premiered, I was getting people, like, coming up to me on the street and just...
Wow.
Yeah, and even people that weren't metalheads, like, there was this kid that was like, you know, he's like, dude, I'm into hip-hop, and, you know, I love the movie, and it makes me want to listen to, you know, some metal songs, which is great. Like, maybe it's a gateway drug for like, you know, people would, like, maybe experience metal and... at least understand, like, what metal's about. Like, I really want to... because, you know, in like, TV and film, there's a tendency for, like, if they need, like, a bully character or, like, a junkie character, they
right.
chuck someone in a metal T-shirt. And,
right, exactly, and a jean jacket and go,
yeah. And I just wanted to, like, have, like, more of a positive, you know, like, point of view.
That works. Well, speaking of metal, I mean, what are your favorite metal bands? Are they all like the bands from when you got into metal, or do you still listen to new music and keep an ear out for new bands and stuff?
Yeah, I mean, I've been listening to like the new Black Dahlia Murder album.
Oh, nice.
You know, there's lots of like new metal bands. I'm a big fan of Mastodon, and
oh yeah,
yeah, like I think. My taste kind of changed, but I still listen to death metal bands, black metal, but yeah, I've been listening to a lot of like 80s stuff again, like stuff like Judas Priest and Iron Maiden, you know, like that stuff never really gets old.
It still
sounds so fantastic.
Yeah, we're digging the new Iron Maiden. It's really good. The Book of Souls, I think, I can't remember the name offhand, but it's been a pretty good album. It's got that one song in there. It's like an 18-minute song. They really went nuts with it.
So epic, right? Yeah,
yeah,
it's great. You've been thrashing the new Slayer album quite a bit. There's some really good tracks in there, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much good stuff coming out of Sweden. You know, it's not even just like metal, but just like kind of rock and roll and like
totally. You
know, bands like Ghost.
I'm surprised with that. When it started a few or even several years ago, this whole quote-unquote retro thing where they were getting more of that 70s vibe and stuff, at first I was like, man, I don't know about this. You know, it's like they were just trying to, you know, cash in on some nostalgia. But there have been a lot of bands, and a lot of them coming, surprisingly, from, you know, up northern European, Scandinavian countries, and it's so authentic sounding. It's like they came out of a time capsule, and it's amazing music.
Yeah, totally. I agree. It's really cool. I really wanted to go there and take Deathgasm to Scandinavia. That was my big plan, but it just, yeah, unfortunately, like a lot of the festivals play later in the year, so I'm doing my my American leg of the trip now. So like Canada, US, and Mexico.
Nice. And they're calling you. Is that the deal? Or do you, I don't know how it works. You have to call them and say, I want to come talk about this stuff because it's showing around your part of the woods right now.
Yeah, no, they invite us to the festivals and treat us really well, and we go and we present it to the audiences and do like a question and answer session.
Oh, nice.
It's been a really amazing trip, you know, just rubbing shoulders with all these like amazing, like really cool horror directors and fans. Yeah, it's a phenomenal scene. It's really opened my eyes.
Cool. I know one of my favorite guys to watch. He's from our neck of the woods. We're in Houston. Robert Rodriguez. He's based out of Austin, and I think he usually goes to a lot of those festivals and hangs out and meets and greets people. And it's always fun to see what he's doing. He did the Sin City movies and stuff, of course. And I like that kind of unique looking stuff. He's doing stuff that's not so Hollywood, and I guess that's what I like too about movies like yours is that these movies kind of live outside that sphere and they don't worry about trends, or they just go, I just made a movie that's the movie I want to watch.
Totally. Yeah, actually, I got to meet him in Austin.
Oh, great.
And, fantastic. Like, he's always doing really interesting stuff. And I think he's working on, like, an adaptation of, like, Fire and Ice.
Oh, wow.
Which, would be amazing if that comes about. I really hope it does.
Well, I know, too, I heard recently, or it wasn't recently, it's more like a year or two ago, that he was working on, and I think he already has, acquired the rights to the original Heavy Metal cartoon.
Yes. Yeah, I heard that, too. That would be exciting.
Oh, man.
Yeah, like, I love that kind of, like, the animated sort of barbarian stuff that, and the Frank Frazetta art as well, which is obviously, you got those fantasy scenes in Deathgasm, which is, like, kind of Frank Frazetta, Boris Vallejo sort of inspired.
With a little touch of like Metalocalypse.
Yeah.
I thought that was great, that scene where he's just up on the mountaintop just rocking, and then the chick's down there and he gets the laser eyes. I thought that shit was hilarious. These guys that you worked with, I guess maybe if you did a sequel, for instance, you would include that, sort of continue the story? I mean, or do you have any ideas of where you take the story?
Yeah, I think definitely want to work with the same team again if possible, and I'm just outlining stuff at the moment, and we're looking at different ways to take the, turn it into a bit of a franchise, and like maybe different mediums, which would be great. But yeah, like I think the cool thing about doing like a sequel would be like we can. You know how, like, when you start it off, you've got to introduce the characters a bit, and, it's a little bit slow sometimes. Like, the good thing about doing a sequel is we can just take it up to 11 straight off the bat, And so I've got these really great set pieces planned, so we can just get right into it, get into the action, get into the horror, and it'll be a lot of fun. Let's fingers crossed.
Oh, for sure, dude. We totally support that. We're all about it. Anything before we let you go, we start to wrap this up, is there anything that you'd like to tell the fans? Any sort of suggestions or ideas about what they could do to maybe follow up on this kind of stuff? More movies to watch? More bands to listen to?
Yeah, I mean, I guess one thing I'd say is, like, check Deathgasm out on iTunes. It's on iTunes and a bunch of other VOD platforms, Vimeo and Google Play and whatever. And, the more people that support the film, the more chance, we have of making a sequel and taking it further. And, yeah, that'd be awesome.
Hold on a second. Wait a minute. It looks like I'm getting a text here. It's Ragman. Apparently John needs a clean job from the van and some baby wipes. Oh, Jesus.
Oh, all dude, right. Man. You got a busy evening planned there.
The guy, he needs to just not eat for a couple of days before we go out is the deal. So we don't need any accidents, man.
Yeah, totally. Well, I mean, film it. We might be able to use it for Deathgasm too.
Make a great scene, bro.
Yeah, man.
Well, dude, I really appreciate it, Jason, giving us a call. It's really cool to talk to you, man. This movie is fantastic, and I would reiterate, guys, go out and find this movie wherever you can, Amazon, iTunes, wherever, and watch it, because it's fantastic. I thought about for just a half second of hitting that rental, in high def, and I said, no, screw this. I just bought it, sight unseen, because I was so excited, and I wanted to, further the cause, because I really think it's great that guys like you are out making movies like this, and if I had my way, there'd be just fucking dozens of you guys making these movies.
Awesome, man. No, thank you so much, and yeah, I think there's lots of parts where you just have to kind of pause and actually, like, there's heaps of little Easter eggs in the movie, you know, so keep an eye out for those as well, yeah.
Oh, shit, now I'm going to have to go back and watch it again. Yeah, to look for those.
Totally. Everything, like, if there's, like, you see a phone number on the wall or something, it means something. There's a hidden reference there, so check it out, yeah.
Oh, shit, now you really got me excited. I'm going to go watch it right now.
Yeah, man.
Well, appreciate it. All right, Jason, we'll take it easy, man, and keep in touch, buddy.
Awesome, bro. Thank you so much. Cheers.
We're just talking
Jason
about the movie.
Talking to us, yeah. Talking about his fucking movie. Yeah, it was a great fucking movie.
Oh, totally, totally.
He seems like a pretty cool fucking dude. You know, speaking of movies, another one that I don't think either of us ever saw, but I was really interested in seeing it. It was a rock and roll vampire black comedy.
What was that?
From 2009 called Suck.
Suck?
Yeah. What was cool about this one is it was written directed. Again, usually a lot of these are written directed by the same guy. It's like a guy who had an idea and managed to make it happen. By Rob Stefanuic, who stars alongside Jessica Parra, who was in Mad Men, and Nicole DeBoer, and Malcolm McDowell. But it had a lot of rock dudes in it. It had Alice Cooper, Iggy Pop, Henry Rollins, Alex Lifeson, who plays like a security guard.
Really?
It looks like it's fucking cool. I always wanted to see it. We never got around to fucking seeing it. We should
see
that sometime.
Suck.
Yeah. Rock and roll vampire comedy. Oh. And notice, see? It's got rock and roll, you know, it's got the rock angle, but it's a comedy. So they throw the comedy with the horror.
Yeah.
It seems like it's funny but whenever you do have heavy metal in a movie, aside from, you know, you got your shockers and stuff.
Yeah.
But for the most part, a lot of them just tend to go over that comedy angle, almost like, if we're going to have metal and horror, you can't really take it seriously, as if metal isn't worthy of being serious on its own. I mean, I wonder if you can think of a movie that was a truly a metal horror, like maybe a black metal band or something that's, you know, playing in an insane asylum or something and real crazy shit goes, where they take it seriously, in other words. Leave the comedy angle out. Can you think of a metal horror movie?
No, honestly, no. I mean,
except maybe the Lordy movie.
Yeah. Yeah, that's that wasn't cheesy. There was no comedy in that.
They weren't playing it for laughs. It was straight up, it's metal.
Straight up.
But it's also horror.
I mean, if you count Prince of Darkness, but that wasn't really, I mean, Alice had a bit part.
Right, yeah.
It wasn't really metal. Music to it.
Just had that guy in it.
We could talk about Beelzebub, but those are just cheesy, offbeat comedy, with full of death metal type music.
So that's the thing. It's like they can't resist throwing in a little bit of comedy, like as if it's just not right to have metal and horror together without jokes.
Well, unless it's just a soundtrack thing.
Right, in which case it's not really a heavy metal. I mean, it's got a soundtrack that's heavy metal, but not really a heavy metal movie.
Not really.
In other words, the character isn't somehow involved in heavy metal, or the plot isn't somehow involving heavy metal. And I don't know if anyone, maybe there's just doesn't work.
Or rock and roll for that that matter.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be metal totally, but...
Maybe it just doesn't work. I think we're past the point. You could have done this in the 50s, up through maybe the 70s, maybe even in the 80s, where you could have the classic guy that sells his soul for music.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the classics, even though it's not metal, is Crossroads.
Yeah. There was no comedy angle in that.
No, but it's a movie, though, that has music angle, but also a dark angle, not horror,
I know one.
But it's involving the devil.
The Pick of Destiny. a little Tenacious D.
Yep. Shamefully, I must admit, I've never seen it.
You're kidding me. Dio's in that.
I know, I always meant to, and I never got around to it. I want to see it.
Oh, dude, we should have screened that in the filming room.
We'll have to do it.
Oh, yeah.
When we get back to the...
Oh, it's excellent.
Get back to the campus, we'll have to check it out.
Totally. We should play some Tenacious D.
Let's do that, and then maybe we'll look in the doorway and see if everything's all right now.
How about Rhodey?
Let's do that.
All right. You feeling brave or what?
Yeah, fuck it. I mean, I'll step up here on the porch here and take a look.
Well, I'm going to finish my beer real quick.
You do that. I'm just going to push open the door here.
Creaky-ass
fucking door.
Oh, yeah, fuck yeah.
Maybe I won't go inside. It's a little fucked. Why are there never lights? The switches never fucking work.
Yeah, they never fucking... Do you hear flies?
Yeah, why don't we close the door?
Yeah, let's shut it.
Maybe we won't be... If anything looks weird, we'll call the cops.
Where's Jungo?
I don't know.
Oh, he's in the van.
Look. Well, I see a silhouette.
Is he beating off?
It's fucking wrong. And yet, the fuck?
He does that when he's nervous, he says.
Is that... See, then who's that standing up in the fucking window?
Is that George?
Fuck.
No, that ain't George.
I don't know who the fuck that is, dude.
It looks like him, but that ain't him.
Every now and then it looks... I thought it was John last time, but every time I look up, there's some motherfucker watching us.
It is weird. And that frog with the red eyes.
No shit.
And he snorts like a pig.
This is weird. Up. Well, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if it's a topic per se, but I guess what I'm getting at is, I wouldn't mind. And like I said, maybe it's not possible, but I wouldn't mind seeing an actual horror movie without the comedy, with metal.
What about Rob Zombie?
Mm-hmm.
House of a Thousand Corpses did have a little bit of comedy in it.
He's vaguely a metal guy. Vaguely.
Yeah.
Industrial metal at best.
Industrial.
And he does. But notice his movies have no metal in them. Like he did Halloween. He did House of a Thousand Corpses or whatever.
I'm trying to think if there's any Devil's real metal Rejects. Music.
I mean, there was a soundtrack.
Yeah.
But not as part of the plot.
You're right.
See? I can't think of any movies that were horror and heavy metal as part of the plot.
I gotta try to remember this, but when he remade the first Halloween, the little kid Michael had real long hair, but it was based in the 70s. They put a lot of Kiss, Van Halen, Nugent, that type of stuff.
Yes, that's the thing, and that's what I separate. It's like, it's one thing to have metal as part of your soundtrack, but that doesn't make it a metal movie.
True.
And maybe, like I said, maybe that's too specific or something. It doesn't work.
Maybe so, yeah.
I think, like I was saying earlier, I think we're past the point where we can have movies about people selling their soul for music. It's like, seems like a very 50s sort of idea to do.
50s, but I guess they could do it now.
Could you?
I mean, and then turn it into like a Devil's Advocate type. Mix it up. Mix in the metal element into like a Devil's Advocate type.
Oh, I see.
Instead of being a lawyer, he becomes this rock star.
And that's an example, of a movie that, while it wasn't metal, it was the idea of a modern story of somebody selling their soul or almost selling their soul to the devil.
Exactly.
That's the thing. You don't normally do those devil movies anymore. You do them as like a comedy, like with the Devil and Daniel Brewster or whatever. The one with the Jennifer Love Hewitt movie where she was the devil and she made him, he signed a contract. And
that was
Alec Baldwin. Then there was the one with...
It wasn't Jennifer Love Hewitt. It was that other chick. Elizabeth Hurley.
Well, that was another version of the movie.
Yeah.
It's that same movie that keeps getting remade. And one version had Jennifer Love Hewitt, another version had Elizabeth Hurley with Brendan Fraser.
Yeah.
That one. That was actually kind of a funny movie.
Yeah, Bedazzled, I think.
Bedazzled, that's it.
Yeah, that was a good movie.
Yeah. And you notice, comedy. It's like we don't want to take the devil serious. Devil's Advocate is one of the few movies where we took it seriously and said,
"That was a good movie."
Have a movie, which was
or even Angel Heart.
That
was a killer fucking
fuck
movie.
Yeah, it was.
And see,
De Niro is the devil.
And remember, and maybe, I wonder if you can shoehorn, maybe then I guess you're just shoehorning it in just to do it. If you can shoehorn metal into it. It involved music, because it had that New Orleans Zydeco shit. But, and what was that one, The Believers? With
oh, that was awesome, with Martin Sheen?
Yeah, with Martin Sheen, that kind of shit.
You need a nipple?
There was no fucking metal angle to that, but
I wonder if you can. I say we open up the Monk's Blood, and then we go into the house again. Or go around to the boat barn.
Check out the boathouse?
Yeah.
The down there with the
fucking... I'm going to open up the Monk's Blood.
With the wind blowing.
So we're having a little bit of a horror-themed beer tonight.
Yeah.
The Monk's Blood and Monkey Zombie Porter.
What is that noise? It's tearing the ass out of me. No, it's, listen. The sirens. Some shit going on. This Monk's Blood, this is a Belgian strong dark ale from the 21st Amendment Brewery out of California.
Out of Cali. Straight out of Cali. Straight out of Compton, Holmes.
I don't think so.
Did you see that movie?
Straight out of Compton? Not the hugest gangster rap fan.
But you like N.W.A.
I like a couple of their tunes.
You used catchy. To tell me you were an N.G.A. or N.W.A.
Uh-huh.
I'm sure I did.
No, but I'm down with this this fucking ABV here of 8.30. A little bit stronger, but not too strong.
8.3 for real?
Mm-hmm.
Damn, B. So we got the Monk's Blood here. We're minutes away from going to the boat shed. Oh, God, that does have a nice little Belgian smell to it, doesn't it?
Ooh, nice. Very kind of dark and plummy.
I fucking cheated.
That's okay. I've been drinking it.
Oh, fucking A, that's good.
Isn't it good, dude?
Holy
shit.
That's
real good. You've never said you never had this before.
I haven't. I've had it, but it's been a while. God, I taste cherries.
Yeah, it's nice. They say that the taste is kind of a dark fruity thing, so maybe some plums and dates.
Excuse me.
Yeah, a little bit of cherry thing.
Kind of grabs you by the poo-poo, don't it?
It's good, dude.
Oh, this is excellent. Dude, this would have got a 4 had we rated it.
For real.
Tonight.
This would have been a good beer of the show.
Look at it. It's, if you can see it up in that light that keeps flickering upstairs.
It's like, yeah, it's like a dark color to it.
Yeah.
Real nice.
Kind of a cherry red.
Yeah. It's like a very dark amber.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice. Oh. Fuck, did you just see that?
Yeah.
Holy fuck.
What, is that door swinging open? I mean, there's no breeze out here, but it's like slamming back and forth.
Oh, okay. I see two eyes in this. Fuck this.
Yeah, fuck that.
The red eyes. I'm not doing that.
Well, let's go back up front, and then we'll go inside the house and just look around for a minute.
You think so?
Why not? We're here. We made the trip. I used all my air miles to get up here.
I don't want to waste them.
That's fair enough.
Fuck it.
Maybe we find a pub out of here.
All right. Yeah, let's maybe check this out and get the fuck out of
here.
Just go get drunk.
So you got a classic over there, Paisan?
Yeah, you know, in that movie Deathgasm, I know we played the Skull Fist already. I noticed the dude they featured prominently in there was Trivium.
Dude, posters everywhere.
Yeah, fuck.
I mean, Trivium should be calling them and said, "Thank you very much.
Motherfuckers owe us some money."
Oh yeah,
or something. But I think they were showing the album for Ascendancy, right?
Yeah,
it looked like the cover of the first
album.
Totally. How about something that would be appropriate for this fucking house, like Light to the Flies?
I love it. Let's do it. May all of the rebels Infinity Self-denying of a rift from the dark. May all immigrants, those who run will be burned. Those who run will be burned. Bye. What do you got over there, Pedro?
Well, you know, being Halloween, you know, I'm definitely want to go for a horror theme. So, you know, there's a few bands that come to mind. Of course, like Slayer, W. Borger, even In Flames, some early In Flames.
Classics.
King Diamond, of course.
The King's gonna the King. Who's going to be coming
soon. Oh, yeah. Abigail, baby, in its entirety.
And notice in the movie, the name of the record store is Abigail Records or something like that.
Yeah, yeah,
that's
yeah.
That's pretty sweet. I'm sure that's a King Diamond reference.
Yeah, it was interesting that we asked Jason about that and what his answers were. That's pretty cool. But I've got to go with Merciful Fate. It was a band that scared the piss out of me in high school. One of the first bands that ever really scared me listening to them. How about Princess of Hell? Paizan. So, pick of the show. You got anybody in mind?
You know,
with the horror theme though.
Something that seems close to that would be, let's go with something off the new Vandenplas just came out.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I reviewed their first one, the CD of the month. The first,
nice.
Because this is a two-part concept album they're working on. They did that with one of the guys, Wolfgang Holbein, from their Germany, their homeland, who has a vampire series.
Oh, nice.
Called Die Chronik der Unsterblichen, which is the Chronicle of the Immortals.
Uh-huh.
It's about vampires. And they wrote a rock opera with him together. He's apparently a fucking Vandenplas fan.
Really?
And he's a fucking horror writer, so that's pretty awesome. So he wrote them and said, let's do a fucking rock opera, a modern rock opera, metal opera together about this story, and they did. So Chronicles of the Immortals came out, Netherworld, part one came out last year, and they said, well, we'll release part that we had so much shit, we made it into two albums, so part two will come out this year, and so it has. And it's just as fucking great as the first album, in some ways a little better. So it's a great fucking album. I gave it a four horns up. Anyway, I think probably the most appropriate song off that new album, Netherworld 2, would probably be Monster.
Nice. Let's do it.
There's something I need to we'll be right back.
guys are fucking ridiculous.
Oh yeah,
fucking love Band of Blondes.
Dude, me too. I think that's another band you got me into, or did I get you into them? I don't remember.
I don't know. We've been listening to them since I think college.
A long time. Yeah,
been for a while.
Well, I got something horror themed. That, I guess the last record they put out, I wasn't really that blown away, but this one's gotten a lot of buzz. So I thought, well, maybe I'm missing something. And so I decided to check them out. So I bought the new Ghost. And the album's called Ballora. And it's pretty cool. Pretty cool. Kind of got that retro feel to it.
They're great.
Oh, yeah.
Some people would say, like, this is over the top. It's kooky that they're still doing costumes and they won't break character and all that's a little cheesy.
But that's cool.
But they sound fucking incredible.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of funny that for all that hype and goofiness, it's like, you're making great fucking music, so you know what? Do your thing.
Yeah. Totally. Totally. This song's called From the Pinnacle to the Pen.
We ought to just fucking try to get in here and see what
happens. Let's just see what's up.
Let's open the door.
What the fuck?
Get out!
I'm out of here. Yeah.
Fuck it. We're gone. I saw a pub the way down.
Yeah. Horns up!
Horns up!